Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to the IRIB English Radio, and this is the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. We have with us in studio today our guest speaker, Brother Al-Musawi. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Brother Al-Musawi, I have a very important question for you. That is, sometimes when a child is kind of destroyed, now your relatives come up and say, it was the fault of his parents that they did not brought up him in a certain way they were supposed to. But do you think in upbringing a child, it is only the parents who play a very important role, or even it's much more like society or any other thing, a teacher, a guide, a mentor, a friend, in fact, does play a role?
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A hadith just came to my mind from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He says, "Innakum mas'uluna 'anil ardi wa baha'imiha," that you are responsible for earth and whatever dwells on earth, be it animals or humans. Sometimes we have a very selfish look into life, and I think only of myself and only of my children, right?
Yeah.
God says, protect yourself, protect your children from hellfire, right? That's what the verse in the Quran, قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ أَهْلِيكُمْ. And we leave it there. We don't expand on the rest of the verses of the Quran. The idea is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He put us as human beings, as vicegerent and leaders on earth, نِجَعْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَ, that the role of a khalifa, the role of a leader, and which is this ayah, at least in a general sense, and includes every human being. In a specific sense, it includes the prophets and the imams. If me and you are in the khalifa, the job of a khalifa is to maintain the safety, the physical and mental and spiritual safety of his subjects,
yeah.
Right? So you are no longer only responsible for your child. You are actually responsible for every child.
All right.
So it's not just thinking of yourself, because this is a very selfish look, especially in Islam. You know how the hadith says, al-Muslim like to the other Muslim, like the other body, if one part feels pain, the other feels? You and I, we do two separate families. You have your own kids, I have my own kids. If your kids go through issues, I should feel the pain. Why? Because we are in the same body.
Yeah.
And the hadith says the Muslims are like a bunyan marsus, like a very strong wall. And with wall is one brick holds the other brick together. If one falls, the rest will fall. So we have to act and feel for one another. I can't just say, well, it's okay, and this is what we do. We look at the parents like, he's a bad parent. Look how he's raising his children. I get to ask the question, what have you done about it?
Yeah.
Did you try to help? Or are you just sitting at your home just gossiping and backbiting the other parents and calling them bad names?
Yeah.
Because we don't understand, we don't realize this, that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least from the aspect of al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy an munkar, because this is a duty, it's actually wajib, one of the wajibat, one of the branches of religion.
Al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy an munkar. To where it's good.
Yeah, to enjoin good and forbid evil. So what are we doing about it? So to go back to your question, that when it comes to children, yes, the first and foremost, it is the responsibility of the parents. We
all
can't
right.
deny that, right? Because they are the amana and the trust of the parents first and foremost. The second responsible party when it comes to kids is the education system that is run by the government itself. The education system that we have, it has to have the purpose of educating children to become better humans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the education system that we have today is just raising our kids to obtain a job when they grow up. That's all it's doing. It's not teaching them to become better humans. They're teaching them to become, this is what I call, become better batteries so they can suck their energy when they grow older. They can turn them into a doctor or an engineer so I can use you.
All right.
Not that you could become a better human.
All right. So first is the parents and second is the education system.
Yeah.
Brother Al-Musavi, I'll be talking to you after a very short while. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. I have with me Brother Al-Musavi, who is talking about the upbringing of children. Brother Musavi, you said that education system today is not making our kids into, it's not turning our kids to be, into be good humans. It's actually making them batteries, which they can consume once they need it.
That's right. So the education system that we have today is an absolute failure, a failure to the best of our...
To its peak.
To the extent of the word.
Yeah.
And it's not just the Western world, but even every Islamic country, the system also the same. Because it became a norm that I only... You know, like we always ask the children, what do you want to be when you want to grow up? That's basically the education that we're giving them. I want to turn you into something. I don't care about your humanity. I don't care about your akhirah. I don't care about your morality. All I care about, what are you going to be? Are you going to be a doctor, an engineer, or this or that? So the programs that are set in the education system is basically to turn kids into this kind of robotic, battery machines that they can use when they grow older, put them into use. Nothing for their morality, nothing for their afterlife, nothing in this regard. The third category or the third group of people responsible for kids and for children, not just the family, not the education system, but the educators themselves.
All right.
Now, when we talk about, for example, teachers, when we talk about nannies, or when we talk about private tutors, when we talk about anyone who is in the education system, they are responsible. Me as a teacher, when I teach kids, I'm responsible. I'm not just there to deliver a subject and get paid. And this is what teachers are these days. They don't care about kids. All they care about is the fact that they have a job and they're getting paid. They come to the classroom, they deliver the lecture. They don't care what kids are learning or not. It's not their problem anymore, right? Back in the day, the teacher used to become like a spiritual father.
Yeah.
Where he does everything. He even beats you up if you don't do the right thing. Why? Because he feels the responsibility as of a parent. Now, these days, they don't care. I mean, at least in my school, the teachers don't care. Like, the teacher is teaching and we're playing, we're doing things, and the teacher doesn't care because he knows that if he talks to us and he tries to yell at us, we will make his life a living hell.
Yeah.
So he just doesn't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because even the educators themselves are failing miserably as well because they just don't care anymore. Their purpose became to make a living rather than to bring better human beings or to create better human beings. So they are also available in this regard. The other party also that's responsible for kids in general, society itself. Other families are also responsible. Like I said at the beginning, it's not just me. I don't live by myself. Human beings in our nature, we are civilized. As we say, in Arabic, we say madaniyut tabah. In his nature, he's civilized. He has to live with people.
All right.
He can't live by himself.
Well, so since a man is a social being, he has to live in a society, and society does impact him. We'll talk on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, O nation of Shia, teach your children the poems of Al-Abdi, because he was a follower of the religion of Allah.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is the program Islamic Upbringing. I am Zainab, and I have with me in the studio Brother Al-Musawi. Brother Musawi, you said that there are a lot of things that affect the upbringing of a child, be that parents, be that education system, be that a mentor, the guide, and now you said is the society. So how does the society impact the nurturing or upbringing a child?
Like I said, since we are civilized in our nature that I can't live by myself, I depend on you and you depend on me, and everyone depends on each other. So I depend on you to become a doctor, for example. You depend on me to be a baker. I depend on someone to be a farmer. So we have to be dependent on each other. So what happens at the end of the day, we form this circle of society. We become entangled and attached to one another. So if I have kids, you have kids, and other families have kids, if we see one of these bricks of this family or the society falls, if we don't do anything about it, what happens is that it will come and affect me and you as well.
All right.
So because my neighbor's children, if they get corrupted, they will eventually corrupt my kids. So the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam says that get your girls married early, and he gives example or the parable of a fruit. He says once the fruit is ripe, if you don't pick it, then it will get rotten, and then once it's rotten, it will destroy the fruits next to it.
Yeah.
Like bring a box of tomatoes and put one rotten tomato in it.
The entire box will get
in
affected.
One day, the whole thing will get rotten.
Oh my right? God.
So in society, it's the exact same thing, that when you have one family corrupted, if I and you don't do anything about it, it will come to our side and it will corrupt our kids. So as a society in general, we are responsible for one another. That we need to have that sense, which we don't these days. We just don't care.
Really,
To put it simply, we just do not care. As long as my child is okay, I don't care what happens to the whole world. And that's why slowly, we're starting to have this, pollution happening in society. And at the end of the day, my child and your child go to the same school. They do the same thing. They talk to each other online, and if my child is corrupted, surely he will corrupt your child. I mean, most people who start smoking, most people who start addictions and drugs and everything, is through their friends.
Yeah.
Right? All bad. I remember
the company they were.
Yeah, I remember in my school, kids used to bring pornography magazines. Kids used to bring alcohol in Coke bottles. They used to bring their smokes, and they used to do it in the school. And obviously, they try to get as much with them as possible. Me being there without an education, without knowing what's going on, I'm just a child. I would go with the flow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless I am being raised properly to know that these things are wrong and can't do that. So anyway, the point is society is responsible. Me and you are responsible not only for our children, but we are responsible for each other as well.
Yeah. So you also like, as you said in the previous hadith, that if all Muslim nation is like a body, if one part is hurt, the entire body should feel the pain. And we have so many verses saying that in case you see a Muslim in pain and it does not affect you, you should actually doubt your iman, you should doubt your faith. Thank you so much, Brother Musawi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us. Please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by searching Call of Islam Radio. You can also listen to our sessions again on our official website, that's parstoday.com. Go to Call of Islam. Until another session, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.